know they run
it. Hi guys, welcome.
It just doesn't train them.
How's the feedback?
We don't have that.
Let's see if that works better. Hear me okay? Welcome, Dr. Graham Klein. I'm the president of King County Medical Society. Thank you, Doc. I want to welcome you to the 2022 annual meeting. And our supporters have scattered, but I want to make sure each one of the slides have been met. These supporters, we cannot walk here, but hopefully, you all have a chance to stop by. We should have minutes on a slide here momentarily, which we need to approve. So we'll pull that up. And just keep eating and keep going back for seconds. We have too much food, so hopefully you brought a good appetite. Okay, so I'm sure you can all see the minutes easily as far as scrolling through them. And once we are on the last slide, we can ask for approval of the minutes. The last slide.
Yep.
So I have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Full disclosure, I am from Philadelphia and the Eagles and Phillies fan. I must be a little efficient. Full of plan. All right, so I will ask Dr. Parr to come up, my vice president, to read off the name of the board members.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. You could have been any place tonight. I can tell by our numbers in a room that used to be filled with 200 people. Things are kind of dwindling, but have more steak and lobster for those of you who couldn't be with us today. Grubhub should be arriving at your door shortly. Seriously, thank you all for being here. And just going to read off the slate of our officers, President Dr. Devine, going for his eighth term, fourth term. Myself as vice president, Dr. Johnson for secretary treasurer. In the northern branch, people agreed to be on the board. Dr. Epstein, Dr. Mana, Dr. Amuna. The Tri-City branch area is currently vacant. Southern branch, Dr. Cameras, Dr. Nadera, resident board member Alexis. Is your niece?
Close enough.
Well, thank you for being here. I heard you're from Florida.
I am.
So how'd you make it all the way up this way?
Resident.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, and congratulations, she received our scholarship, which is 4 full years of. Motion to accept.
First.
Second.
Second.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Parra. And we have the thank you gifts for our 2022 board. I'll ask Mara to pass out a small token of our appreciation for serving on the board and showing up month to month and staying on top of your emails and trying to move the society forward. So Mara's going to pass it out.
If you're not anybody absent, I will, if you're online, I will mail them out to you.
I think Dr. Nadera is watching online. So, Bob, we got a small gift for you. We'll get that to you later.
Sounds good.
At this point, we'll ask Dr. Johnson, our treasurer, to come up and provide the treasurer's report.
Oh, that's it. Good evening.
There is a blog there.
On your table are the latest financial statement. If you have any specific questions, you can call Mara and she can answer in detail. or you can call me too. We're in fairly good overall shape. If you have any questions about our investments with Ameriprise, you can call me and I'll give you all the details. We have now $173,000 still. $126,000 is in our investments. That sounds pretty good, but last year at this time we had $142,000, so we did lose about 10% with all the market changes. However, we have the same amount that we had 2 years ago, and we started out 7 years ago with $100,000, so even though the market has not been good last year or two, we're still $26,000 better than we were when we started these investments. And I know you've never heard of inflation, but that kind of diminishes what we've been doing, but still it's good. The other monies we have are in the bank that Mara writes checks from. We also have about $20,000 in the Physicians Education Fund, which we use for certain events when there are lectures. So overall, we're very, very stable. Part of that is that we don't have an office anymore. Mara runs the program from her home, so we don't have rent overhead. We don't have a lot of other utility overhead. We've been really cutting costs the last couple of years, so we're still staying afloat, even though our membership is slowly diminishing. So any questions, ask Mara later or me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson, and appreciate your years of service at Mara. Well, a round of applause for Mara. Thank you, John. Thanks. There's a lot of accidents. We had, I think, a daughter passing out stuff earlier, so that's good. And we have 7 cats on staff now?
14.
14. All right. 14. All right, quick year in review. We have some slides about our activities for the year. So various learning events, we are trying to stay educationally and a little bit politically active as a medical society. With our sister society, McHenry County Society, where some members are present today. So Mara does work for both of us, so she's got a lot going on. So some of the learning events, we had a hot topic in COVID-19. People probably don't know anything about COVID-19. But we have had several of those events over the past years, including one early this year. We had a physician employment legal discussion back in February. And we're going to try to do something like that for our residents who, yes, we have a resident here who's going to try to find the right topic for fellow residents. And we'll try to get some of the Delmar folks involved as a Delmar residency of family medicine. So we'll see if we can find the right venue for that. Next slide. We had, okay, so we have the new Illinois State Medical Society president. I'm sorry for the slide. They disavowed the title that I came up with. This is my fault. Those networks of insurance pirates, which they said, well, we should probably change that a little bit. That sounds a little too tough. It's a much better slide than our company. So we had Ken Ryan from ISMS give us a talk. Next slide. Also, figuring with the fund in Ukraine that's going on right now, the terrible situation we have there, we brought out this topic where we had radiation oncology and a physicist from Rush provide an update on managing effects of radiation therapy, but it will manage radiation casualties. The idea is covering some basic stuff that you might see with any family or stuff that hopefully you never see. Next slide. We also had a two-part series with loads of health. These are fulfilling your opioid requirements for Illinois State licensure, which will be, I believe, July next year. So that's a 3-hour course where people could get CME. That was right here at Eagle Brook and also virtual. We are doing combo meetings generally all the time now. Next slide. And legislative events, we're going to try to do these periodically where we have folks from each party come and they talk to the medical society virtually. And McHenry is generally a part of that. So we have questions from Kane County and McHenry County. A number of people running for office. We did that in years past. I'd like to thank Illinois State, by the way, is a very active legislative arm for essentially lobbying and trying to keep our interests stay at the front of mind for folks in Springfield. One of the sad things is I think Kane County Bar Association has like 80 or 90% membership. We're probably at 10% for the doctors. So like, we're not very good at being organized compared to lawyers, and that probably shows. Next slide. And McHenry hosting an opioid narcotic dosing event and an orthopedic hip and knee surgery. So Mara helps arrange those things, and we generally invite members of Kane to the McHenry events and vice versa. I think that was. Oh, and I did get invited. Mara received a call from IMSA, so Illinois Math and Science Academy, down in, I think that's technically North Aurora.
Yeah, I think so.
So there's a bunch of kids in their medical interest group. And they contact the medical society asking for a speaker. And so I showed up. They're out of luck for a good speaker. But I came anyhow. And that was an engaged group of young groups who we hope to see in our profession down the road. Smart group of kids. Next slide. And we did have a scholarship with Lexis, our resident board member now, received last year. And we are probably going to have to run this through the board again, but we're probably going to do this again next year. And we were trying to send them to the Illinois State Medical Society meeting. I think it's Rockford this coming year. We didn't have the live meeting, so you got to attend virtually. And I think we got you some side stuff to help you study the boards, which I think it was a better deal.
I'm not holding out until I have to take my hat.
You have a box? Yeah, okay. Next slide. And this is a thank you. This is the 2022 board members we passed out. We'll pass out the gifts later. So thanks to you for those of you who serve and might serve in the future. All right. Now, our speaker of the night. So, Dr. Clarence Brown, MD and JD, bit of an overachiever going for 2 degrees like that. Mm-hmm. Board certified in dermatology, currently practicing advanced Mohs surgery out of Chicago at St. Joseph's Mission University, is the medical and surgical director of Mohs micrographic surgery. And an ISMS member for 22 years, he previously served as a trustee and was elected president-elect in April 2022. Dr. Brown received his medical degree from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine and did his residency at Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center in Chicago and his fellowship at Baptist Medical Center and completed a Juris Doctorate degree at John Marshall Law School in Chicago. I'd like to thank Dr. Brown for making the long drive out here to be with us.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for inviting me. And for our resident position, I think the takeaway from my introduction is that if you just keep showing up at things, they sign you. It's true. Okay. It's true. So, yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. It's great to be here with you all. And the State Medical Society is thrilled as we're edging out of the COVID pandemic into a COVID endemic situation that we're able to make outreach visits again. And we're very excited that this coming spring, we anticipate hosting an in-person meeting in Rockford. There is no plan to have a hybrid model for the Rockford meeting, but in the future, the Medical Society is. So as you've heard, I'm a private practice dermatologist. I have a dermatologist friend and colleague here, and we've been talking skin nonstop since we started. You know, there are many great issues that face us in the practice of medicine, and every day it seems like there's another great issue facing us. Fortunately, the State Medical Society is working diligently, very hard to address them on behalf of both you all's physicians and your patients. And today I'll touch briefly upon three issues, giving updates on network adequacy, prejudgment interest, and prior authorization reform. And before concluding, I'll also give you a little insight into what we're expecting from the Illinois General Assembly in the coming months, and some good news about medical licensure with respect to your renewal next year. network adequacy. It's gotten a little, quite a little press in the last few months. Network issues have actually been a thorn in the side of the medical society for many years, and the society continues to try to work to bring some involved as physicians as well as the patients of Illinois. Way back in 2017, the Medical Society successfully advocated for the passage of the Network Adequacy and Transparency Act. This, at the time, was considered a big victory to get this act passed. It required insurance companies to have enough physicians in their networks, including specialists, and to provide accurate information about those networks to patients. But sadly, it is Illinois, and bureaucracy actually had its own agenda. And it was pretty much just left on a shelf after the act was passed. The Division of Insurance under the Bronner administration opposed the law. So when the law was passed, they chose not to develop any rules or to enforce any of its provisions. Under the current governor, Pritzker, the rules similarly were left undeveloped, but that actually changed recently when Blue Cross Blue Shield and the Springfield Clinic engaged in a very messy contract dispute related to issues of network adequacy with its Blue Cross contract. And when Springfield Clinic chose to withdraw from that contract, it left thousands of Central Illinois patients without local options for treatment. This actually brought a great deal of scrutiny down upon Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it exposed that they are promoting in their online network and their print network materials that physicians who are no longer participating with Blue Cross Blue Shield are still participating, some of which are deceased, some of which don't even live in the state anymore or are retired. And so it was determined by the state that the directories were woefully inadequate, and it was considered a violation of the network adequacy law. The Division of Insurance also, having not drafted any rules or any policies to enforce the act, faced a great deal of scrutiny as well, and they were pretty much forced to spring into action, and they actually fined Blue Cross Blue Shield $330,000. Now, we all acknowledge if you received a fine or I received a fine of $330,000, it would be significant, but the Blue Cross Blue Shield, this is nothing but a raindrop. Typhoon of its existence. But it's a step, in the right direction, and we continue to hear stories from the state about inadequate networks and provider directories that are full of old and invalid information. So this has resulted in a movement in Springfield to expand the network adequacy law and have more oversight. A House bill was actually introduced and considered this spring, but it did not make it out of the General Assembly before they ended that legislative session. But ISMS is going to keep fighting for patients on this issue, so you can anticipate that there will be more news to come. Turning to prior authorization, this was another high-priority item for ISMS, which has been fighting for patients for several years now to actually enact some prior authorization reform. You may recall in 2019, the State Medical Society surveyed physicians about their experience with prior authorization. And we had 1,000 physicians who overwhelmingly reported that prior authorizations were getting more frequent and more harmful for the patients that physicians were trying to assist in care for. Using that feedback, ISMS worked with a bipartisan group of legislators and the Coalition of Physician and Patient Advocacy Organizations to introduce the Prior Authorization Reform Act. Now, believe it or not, this passed unanimously through General Assembly, which in and of itself is practically a miracle here in Illinois, but all of the elected officials voted in favor of the act. And it was signed into law last summer by Governor Pritzker. So the legislation addresses significant delays that prior authorization forces upon patient care. It establishes minimum timelines for urgent and non-urgent prior authorization requests. Prior to this act, there was no standard timelines, and some patients were forced to wait excessive amounts of time, weeks or even months, before care was approved. It ensures that prior authorization requirements are based on medical evidence, and decisions are administered by qualified professionals. Also, it provides for peer-to-peer review to ensure that a physician in the same or similar specialty is considering the request that's being reviewed, as well as a few other critical changes. ISMS worked diligently to make sure this law is properly enforced, and we don't want to see the same experience that we had with the Network Adequacy Act, where it was given their teeth. Turning to prejudgment interest, not sure how familiar everybody is with this issue, but prejudgment interest it allows interest to be applied at the time of judgment for the entire period from the date the lawsuit was filed up until the judgment is determined. So in the Illinois court system, it's not uncommon for a medical malpractice claim to take 3 years to 7 years to wind its way through courts for the initial judgment. And if that judgment is received against the physician based upon this bill, it allows the court to impose interest that is compounded annually for that entire period. The initial bill, when it was proposed by the Illinois tort attorneys, actually called for 9% compounded interest. It was lowered to 6%, but it still is burdensome, it's harmful. And this was actually introduced by the Trial Lawyers Association at 3 a.m. on the very last day of the last session, and it passed with the support of the Illinois Hospital Association. They flipped sides and voted with the trial attorneys to support this bill. I'm not sure all of your inclinations of the Hospital Association, but it's just obvious that they're definitely on the side of physician opinion. And we know that this is harmful, as I've mentioned, and currently the Illinois Supreme Court has not made a decision about this issue of prejudgment interest, and so there are a collection of cases that have been put on hold with this issue. As we've touched on briefly here, that in the coming election, the Supreme Court makeup could swing in a different direction, and it's possible that the court could actually upheld the validity of this. So this coming election for the Supreme Court is meaningful. So I encourage you all to vote, encourage you to get educated about who the candidates are, and to certainly give some weight to the issue, how it may impact, hopefully never you, but perhaps your peers and patients. Well, on that great note, I'll turn to something a little bit more positive. The governor actually has issued a decree that the licensure fees for the next renewal of your Illinois State Medical License will be waived. I'm cautiously optimistic about that, and we'll see if that continues to, right after the point where we actually have to write that check. This has actually been stated to be in thanks to all of the healthcare providers or physicians in Illinois who made sacrifices for input. And again, I'm cautiously optimistic. You may recall that the legislature tends to sweep the funds out of the licensure account every few years as it builds up so it can balance its budget, but we'll see. Looking forward, everyone is very focused right now in Supreme Court on the midterm elections, which are happening in the next few weeks, next week in particular. Already most jurisdictions absentee balloting is underway. But after that election occurs, they will meet in a fall veto session, as well as a lame duck session in January for swearing in the new General Assembly. That lame duck session was actually last year was where prejudgment interest bill was introduced and created. These sessions are known for being a time when all sorts of craziness can pop up, as I just mentioned, and sometimes things that are not good get pushed through in the middle. So we also expect to see the usual parade of horrors with respect to scope of practice bills, more on mandates for doctors for CNE, and other efforts that threaten your autonomy and your care for your patients. But the medical society will remain vigilant to try to, you know, first identify and then certainly proactively, you know, battle on behalf of the physicians against these measures. And for this reason, we appreciate everybody's support, membership, and your strength in numbers, as we all know. And so, again, I thank you for having me here today. And also want to put in a plug for those of you that are impact contributors. You'll receive a special election email with information about pro medicine candidates. If you're not a member of Impact, of course, there's a small contribution. It allows you to further promote the interest of medicine within the state as it relates to these elections, and it provides valuable information as to how to sort of to review or to make determinations about where these candidates stand. So I also want to just say that, you know, before I wrap up, that over the last few years, the medical society has undergone a transformation. We have a 3-year pilot program that's been implemented, ratified by the membership, that actually removes some of the rigidity in the structure of the organization and allows for greater transparency, greater participation. As most of you who are members know, that now any member can bring forth a resolution directly for consideration by the board. Doesn't have to go through channels and be introduced by a delegate. All members of the organization are now delegates. Every member can vote at the House of Delegates, not just the select few who are appointed. And the same responsibility and privilege is now given to resident members as well as medical student members. Mm-hmm. And as I said, responsibility and privilege. So we invite their participation. And since that time, actually, we've had quite a bit more medical student and resident participation. And we've implemented a system whereby resolutions are distributed to the membership via email so that everyone can view them, consider them, think about it, offer thoughts and opinions, suggestions ahead of the reference committees at the annual meeting. So we've seen some resolutions will have 500 members making comments. And so it's a much more open system through which everyone can participate. Likewise, anyone can offer their name or the name of a colleague for consideration for any of the elected positions. So including board members, as well as participation on committees, the executive committee. And before it was all handled through an appointed committee, nomination committee, but now the organization invites nominees or nominations from the general membership. So thank you all for having me. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you for feeding me.
Are there any questions at this time? But there's some dessert and coffee. So the other option is to have come up and chat individually.
Sure.
Any questions for the group?
How do you talking in for people for the reference committee, you know, for different legislative topics that I've been talking
about? That's a great question. So typically names are put forth for reference committee participation by individuals that have expressed an interest. You merely want, if you have that interest in participating on a reference committee, you can certainly email me, you can certainly just email membership at ISMS and let us know that you have that interest. Now, it does help, to be very honest, it does help if you have some other participating role. You participated on a committee or a task force, not necessarily chaired that, but it's very helpful to have some role prior to the role of working on a reference committee where you want to help to steer the decision-making process for what it calls.
I just want to comment. I think, is this true that the first group to join the Illinois State Medical Society was the Illinois Derm Society?
Is there any bias? Wait, is there any bias in this question?
No, I see no.
That was correct. I was on the board when it happened.
All right.
Was it truly the first group of the largest?
First group are the largest.
I thought there were
the first in large is Amy Powers.
I think that shows the vision that dermatologists have.
Are there other from other societies that have nine cents, or is it Derm the pioneer?
Psychiatrists, I think.
That may be psychiatry. I'm sorry, I don't specifically recall. We could ask Meg to circle back with you all on that. But there are several groups that are practice groups that are large, like the Sprinkle Clinic. There's the Peoria Eye Institute. There have been other groups over the years, and there may be a group here. And I'm sorry, I don't have the database of group membership.
Or Ortho Illinois.
Ortho Illinois, right. So any group, I think we define a group as three or more. So anyone, you know, three or more that are affiliated in some fashion or for the college group.
Sure.
And yeah, so we invite you all to be members.
I would encourage anyone who's not a member, which I bet they all are, to become a member, because I think they do a great job with advocating in Springfield, which affects our day-to-day lives.
I wouldn't say large, but we have a very dynamic advocacy. There are multiple members. We have an office in Springfield that's from the window you can see the Capitol building. The advocacy group, the lobbyists, they are on the floor. They know who to talk to. They have their ear to the floor, so they know what's coming. And that's actually a significant part of the process, is actually knowing, you know, having those relationships so that we hear about bills and interests that are going to be presented into the General Assembly, and we have enough time to actually either rely upon existing policy or reach out to membership, and also rely on the legal team at ISMS to, you know, tackle some of these obstacles. There is no doubt that we're going to see more of these issues of scope of practice every year. They come up, and they usually come up a little stronger every year. And they keep re-emerging and pushing. And the members of the General Assembly, there are elected officials who are very pro, providing autonomy to physicians' assistants, optometrists, who want to do surgery. So these are issues that the medical society continually monitors and advocates on behalf of physicians and patients. The medical society does issue quarterly an advocacy update. So if you're not receiving that email, let me know. We'll certainly make sure you're getting that. But every member should be receiving the advocacy update, and it is accessible on the website as well.
Any other questions?
And just to show you how easy it is to get a resolution into the medical society now,
Dr. Stump, write us a resolution, and Mara is going to send that to the rest of the membership later, so we can see that. But I like the resolution, so thank you, Dr. Stump, for doing those. You've come up with a few over the years, and very good.
I think the deadline for resolutions this year is December 15th, maybe December 15th. And if you have an idea, a concept, and you feel any hesitancy about how much time you have or the ability to actually draft it into a resolution, if you reach out to the Medical Society, we have staff that help you work with your suggestion to get it into a form that then could actually be actionable, to help provide some of the background, existing policy within the Medical Society, AMA. And state law, so that it can be placed in the correct context.
You have to know how to use the word whereas.
And wherefore. Not where from.
I'd like to thank Dr. Brown for coming over. Please feel free to grab that. I think Dr. will be with us for a few more minutes. And come up with individual questions, you'll be here. Thank you. Don't forget to. Oh, the rats.
I almost forgot the raffle. So while we're getting our dessert and coffee, please get your dessert and coffee. We have almost forgotten the raffle. Don't worry about it. We still have the What is our prize here? How many do we have? Three prizes, three raffle prizes. First raffle prize. Can I make someone else draw? Resident will draw the first raffle prize. Oh my God.
She got herself.
No, she got my wife.
Okay, we're going down. We have to go around the table.
I think you have to be present to win because we got a hand out, so that does not count. You can tell him he lost out, please let him know.
Oh, I can't. I already won.
It was not stacked.
Pick my own name. That'd be my congratulations. I think two
plus.
My wife wants it, not me.